Today, Jesus speaks to us about marriage and the family, and also in a very powerful way, speaks to us about the disposition of our heart. I want to focus in on that word today, the disposition of our heart. This word is related to our relationship with God, but also how we approach each other in our vocation that we're called to. The disposition of my heart towards you, as a spiritual father, to you, my flock, to you, the children of God that he's entrusted to me. And then, of course, in the vocation of marriage, the disposition of a husband and wife's heart towards each other that makes that sacrament real and fruitful and glorious according to God's commandments and his will and plan for all humanity. We see a difference in disposition today between people in our gospel passage. First, we have the Pharisees, who come before Jesus today and challenge him. We hear today in our gospel, Pharisees approach Jesus and ask, "Is it lawful for a husband to divorce his wife?" They were testing him, is what the scriptures tell us. So they come before God with a disposition of heart to test Jesus. Later in the gospel, it tells us that later on, the disciples ask Jesus the same questions. Jesus told them, because of the hardness of the, in the house of the disciples, again, they questioned Jesus about this. So the disciples also asked Jesus the same questions, but their disposition of heart is not of that of the Pharisees. Instead of testing Jesus, they desire to understand, to learn from the hands and the feet of the Master, to understand God and his commandments. Interesting, this sense of disposition is oftentimes, I think, where we run into difficulties in all parts of our life, where our disposition isn't focused on God and the other person we're called to serve. It's interesting, I was with a family that I've known for about 15 years this last month. Their youngest son is my godson, and it was a really comical experience that kind of reveals a little bit kind of this reality of testing. So I was there in the living room with his mom and his dad. My godson's name is Joseph, like me. And so it was kind of interesting. It was kind of like an experience where God was kind of speaking to me through my godson, because I've got the same name. And so what had happened was he had been playing with this toy, and his mom had told him, "Okay, we're done playing with this toy. We're going to put that away." And she put the toy in my godson's room, and we're going to be together in the living room. And my godson was throwing a fit. He was upset. And eventually, he kind of got over it, but then he was there in the living room, and then he started to slowly but surely walk towards his room, and his mom saw it, and his mom said, "Stop, Joseph. We're not going to play with the toy right now. Stop." And so he heard his mom. He stopped. He looked back around towards her, and then he did this. And his mom said, "Stop, Joseph. You know what will happen if you go into your room." And so he froze. And he stayed frozen for about 5-6 seconds, you know, for a little bit of time. And so his mom started chatting with me and with other people in the room. And so I was talking to her, and out of the corner of my eye, I could see Joseph go, because he knew his mom wasn't looking. And so he actually ended up getting punished by his mom because he did not listen to her. You know, that reality of testing that we see in little kids when they're in that age is a lot of time, you know, how we even sometimes approach God in our life with the different commandments he gives us. Instead of approaching him with the disposition of a child, as we hear in our gospel passage today, a child who in simplicity and independence on his parents comes before them and seeks to be led, we come before God and think we're an equal, like the Pharisee, or even better than him, challenge him in our spiritual life. We see that today in our world. So much of the brokenness that we see, you know, in the world, in the sacrament of marriage, is because of that disposition of heart has been lost. We start to approach each other with the wrong disposition. We seek our own benefit instead of the good of our brother and sister in Christ. You know, we're seeing that in the church right now with, you know, the priesthood, the leaders. Their disposition of heart was not truly to serve God's people, and so they deeply wounded the church through their actions. We see it in, you know, couples today and many marriages that are deeply wounded because of the infidelity or the pain or the disposition of heart of one member of the marriage that's not fully giving of themselves to their spouse, that in doing so hurts them and breaks the vows that they made at their wedding day. We see that all the time in our scripture passage in our world today. And it's interesting, God today talks to us about the original sacrament, marriage, that was there at the beginning of time. We heard in our first reading, story of Genesis, Adam and Eve, and this powerful witness we see of this sacrament. You know, nothing was satisfying Adam's heart, and then all of a sudden, God creates woman, and then Adam says, finally, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and the two shall become one. It's a beautiful image of the primordial sacrament, that here in humanity, it's the most powerful image we have of God's love for us. So just as God, in his identity as God, is united together, three persons in one, a communion of love and intimacy, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, husband and wife are called into that same union, becoming one flesh. They also image God's love for the world. God, who sends his only begotten Son so that we might be saved from our sin, that no matter what our sin is, our infidelity, he is faithful to us, offering us reconciliation until the end of our life. The sacrament of marriage is so powerful because it's the living sacramental image of that love of God for us, which we're called to live in our life, to model. The two sacraments where we're called to live in that self-gift is the priesthood and matrimony. The church also kind of understands right now if you're called to the single life as well, where you give of your life while you're waiting to be called to a vocation, to give of yourself to the church in a special way as well. We're made to give of ourself in love and to receive the love of others. Our life is incomplete if we're not living that way. We're made in God's image and likeness, made for communion, made for union. And so those sacraments of vocation is where we give of ourselves in self-gift, and then we're received in love. So priests give themselves to the church, and then the church receives them back as well. Husband and wife giving of themselves to each other in that bond of love that makes them one flesh, that image of God's love for us. Now we look at the world today, and we see so much brokenness around that gift, so many ways in which the couple who comes before God on their wedding day, making those vows, struggles to live out those vows. You remember the vows of your wedding day if you're married, you know, I promise to love you in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. That sacramental bond that's created as the couple says those vows images God's love for us. And it's a very powerful witness that I will always be faithful to you. I will always give myself to you. I will give you all that I am in total vulnerability, you know, also with the possible anxiety and fear that you might even reject that. And by the power of God, I give that to you, asking for his grace that I might live these vows out that in human standards are truly impossible. To live that perfect love that really we're supposed to be living in the sacrament of marriage, it's really impossible without the grace of God. And that's why it's the primordial sacrament. God gives the grace to make the husband and wife one, to sustain them in their self-gift. Now, in the brokenness of our life, we see so many ways in which we hurt each other, especially in marriages today. So many ways in which there's a way in which either the husband or the wife, there's obstacles to that gift of their vows, where they're not truly saying, I'm going to be faithful to you. So, of course, things of infidelity. You know, the things that plague our society today, pornography, you know, the different ways in which the sacramental sexual act, which is supposed to be at the heart of marriage, has been compromised. All the ways in which life, which is supposed to be at the heart of marriage, the way in which we share with God in his identity as creator, the greatest gift that we have to be co-creators with him as husband and wife, the way that that's been compromised in our society. Ways in which different ways of even our sexuality being compromised. Individuals who struggle to be faithful to their spouse, to who struggle to love the other sex as with the dignity and love that they deserve, using them instead, or individuals who struggle with same-sex attraction, you know, and have to come before God and say, Lord, help me to be faithful to the truth of who I am as your beloved son and daughter, to live truly as a son or daughter as you've created me, man or woman. And if I'm called to marriage, to give myself in this beautiful act of love that you've ordained since the beginning of time. St. John Paul II talks about the sacrament of marriage being the primordial sacrament. It's the first sacrament, and it's the sacrament that will endure forever. After the fall, all the other sacraments come into being. So reconciliation, we need reconciliation because we sin. We need the anointing of the sick because there's death and pain and sickness in our world. You know, we need the priesthood, which is the source of grace to heal God's creation. We need confirmation to receive the power of God. We need baptism to wash away our sins and make us sons and daughters of God. St. John Paul II talks about if the world became perfect, if everyone no longer sinned, we would have no other need, we would have no need for any of the sacraments except for marriage. Because all the other sacraments are about healing the places of brokenness in our life. Marriage, even when it's perfect, is the profound witness of God's love alive in our life. It's the profound witness of that fidelity that drives away fear in our heart. In knowing that you're committed to me and knowing that I'm committed to you, I have the grace and the power to face the world and to experience God's love in the midst of this world of difficulty and sin and selfishness. So we need to ask today, God, to renew us in this beautiful sacrament of his love, and also to ask for healing. Maybe you come before God today with a lot of woundedness around this subject of marriage, you know? Maybe you, like we heard in our scripture passage today, have had to deal with separation, divorce, these things that hurt that sacramental bond. Maybe you, like so many people nowadays, experience the reality of your spouse who didn't make that act of love to you on their wedding day, who really didn't mean that, and so you've been struggling with the lack of their gift of themselves. You know, church offers, you know, annulments to say that, you know, really this marriage that we thought actually happened didn't really happen because there was obstacles between one or more of the spouses in making that gift of love with freedom, with true understanding of what they were saying yes to. So these are all areas in our church around this sacrament that we need to ask for healing for today and renewal. Even if we're married 50 years, there's still ways in which we hurt each other, you know? That same thing that he's been doing for 50 years, and he did it again. You know, maybe we just put up with our spouse instead of letting that opportunity be a place of growth and purifying our heart in that gift of ourself and love, you know, protecting ourselves so we're not gossiping about our spouse, that we're supporting them, you know? All these ways in which he wants to heal our relationships today. So I invite you today to invite God's healing into your life. If you're married, to maybe today during the sign of peace, as you're giving peace to your spouse, to renew the vows of your wedding day by maybe just saying, I love you. You know, if your spouse isn't here today, maybe, you know, they've grown away from the church, you know, they aren't practicing their faith, or they're just not here because something else is going on, making that act of faith in your heart, Lord, help me to love my spouse, to renew the vow I made on my wedding day. And if there's deep places of woundedness in your history around marriage, maybe in your family, with your parents, grandparents, lots of places of brokenness, where you're crying out to God, saying, help me to have hope and faith that this is actually your sacrament and that it's possible that the sacramental bond of marriage can transform a couple, can transform my life, give me that faith, Lord Jesus, and heal my heart around those places where I've been hurt and wounded, and where I lack trust that you're desiring to love me through this sacrament of marriage in my own life and those of the family members around me. So we come before God today asking for a correct disposition of a heart of a child that allows us to come before him and receive his blessings, and that allows us to be his children, to sanctify our life, and especially to sanctify the institution of marriage. We ask for all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.